as we read about what he did and what he said. And I just think what a privilege it is that we have these four accounts of Jesus' life to help us. And we relate to Jesus as a person, don't we? It's not an idea that we believe in. It's not a kind of doctrine. It's a person that we've put our faith in. And I'm going to spoil the end of the story. Jesus dies and he rises again. And he's now ascended to heaven. So we don't have, we don't follow someone who's dead, do we? We follow someone who we know now through faith. And we know what Jesus is like now, today, because of what Jesus was like back 2,000 plus years ago. And that's why it's a reliable guide. But so why is it a reliable guide? Reading this that was about Jesus 2,000 years ago, it's because it tells us in the book of Hebrews that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus' past behaviour is a really reliable indicator of what he's like today. It's a bit like if you had... Actually, I could use Monique as an example. Monique goes off, is Monique, isn't it?
Yeah.
And maybe in 20 years' time, okay, someone asks you what was Monique like, what's Monique like today? Now, you could tell her what Monique was like 20 years ago when she lived with you guys and was part of your church, but actually you wouldn't necessarily be able to say what she was like in 20 years' time if you hadn't actually seen her. Does that make sense? But for Jesus, it is not like that. What he's like today is what he was like when he lived and walked and talked on earth. And we need to hear this story of Jesus again and again to be reminded of his goodness, his wisdom, his victory, his love for us. And as we today watch how Jesus relates to real people, we can learn how he relates to us now. Tim Chester, who's a pastor and an author, gives us this question to ask as we read the Gospels. He says, what does this story, these words, this miracle show me about the way Jesus and the way he relates to people like me? Let me say that again. What does this story, these words, this miracle show me about Jesus and the way he relates to people like me? So I've done two reasons so far. It stabilizes our faith. It also helps us to learn what Jesus is like. And thirdly, I think it helps us to share Jesus with others if we're often spending time in the Gospels. We can learn the Gospel, the good news about Jesus, from the Gospels. And studying Mark today, I hope should help us maybe be able to talk more confidently with our friends who don't know Jesus. Later, I know Sherry's going to recommend, or actually has already given you a copy of this book. It's a great book. I love the subtitle. It's called Scattering Seeds of Hope, Evangelism for the Discouraged and Ineffective. I can relate to that. And it's a really good book, and it really doesn't make you feel bad. It encourages you to think, I can share Jesus naturally with my friends and those around me. And he has this brilliant chapter. So if you only read one chapter, read the chapter about stories. And he just talks about how if we are immersed in the Gospels, we can then tell people stories about Jesus. And I think lots of people now, they don't know stories from the Bible, do they? When I say stories, I mean real life things that happened. So for example, we're going to look later at three people who were in fearful situations, situations that the natural reaction might be to be afraid. And maybe this week you meet someone and you're talking with a friend or a neighbor, and they are in a really, maybe scary situation, maybe overwhelming situation. And maybe you could say, can I just tell you about a time when Jesus met someone who was in a fearful situation? And I love that he did this. And maybe just naturally sharing something about what Jesus did is a way we can very quickly actually help our friends, introduce our friends to Jesus. Because stories are powerful, and God's word is powerful, and sharing things that happened in the Gospels might be just a doable way for us to share something of Jesus with our friends. Maybe you could say, you know, I'm a Christian, and I was recently reading a biography of Jesus' life, and I just loved what happened when he met dot, dot, dot. Or I loved a story that he told, dot, dot, dot. I don't know. So there's a little challenge that maybe what we learned today about these encounters with Jesus, you could pray for just a chance to share something with someone this week about what we learn. Right, you might have other reasons. I've had three. Stabilizes our faith, helps us to learn what Jesus is like, and it helps us share Jesus with others. If you've got more reasons, and I'm sure there are more reasons, maybe you could come and tell me later. Right, what's Mark all about? It's the shortest biography of Jesus. It's thought to be the earliest one that was written. It was written by Mark, who was probably an eyewitness to quite a lot of what he tells us about, but not everything, because he wasn't one of the 12 disciples who spent the most time with Jesus. And it's thought that lots of his gospel, what we find in here is from Peter, who was one of the 12 disciples. And if you read through Mark's gospel, I think you hear mention of Peter over 22 plus times, which shows us, which makes sense, doesn't it? If lots of the information is from Peter, you'd expect there to be plenty about Peter here. And Mark tells us about Jesus' life brilliantly. It's fast-paced, it's full of action, and the more you read it, the more you realize that Mark's really put things together in a really clever way to help us introduce us to Jesus. I encourage you at some point, maybe this week, to read Mark's gospel. It won't take you long. You could read through the whole thing probably within an hour, maybe less. Now, we're going to do something a little bit different here, and I'm going to invite you to do some origami with me, which is why you've got these coloured bits of paper, which you've maybe squashed. They're probably underneath you. My invitation, and you don't have to, if you just want to listen, that's fine. I've done a kind of blue Peter. I've got some I made earlier. I've only got 20, though, so not everyone can have one. So I do encourage you to give it a go yourself if you'd like to. What I'd like you to do is take your piece of paper. If you're not happy with your colour, you can swap it with your neighbour. And fold it in half and half again. Okay, so fold it in half. And then in half again. You're going to do it both directions, so it doesn't matter what you do first. So do it one direction, half, half again, and then unfold it. And then do it in the other direction, half and half again. I know this isn't very easy without a table, but you should end up with 16 boxes. In Mark's gospel. So what I'd like you to do is just number your boxes. Okay. I would move this flip chart a bit further forward, but I'm scared it's going to fall over, so I'm going to leave it leaning against the wall. You might not be able to see everything I write, but I think you'll get the gist of it, and you can always, in the coffee break, come and fill in any gaps you've not done. So basically, Mark's gospel is primarily, like all of the gospels, like all about Jesus. And if we look at, you can look it up if you want to, Mark chapter 1, verse 1, Jesus says, this is good news, and Mark says, sorry, this is good news about Jesus Christ. The Messiah, the Son of God. So straight away, Mark is telling us that he's going to tell us good news, and we're going to see today it is good news, what we're going to find in Mark's gospel. And it's good news about Jesus being the Messiah, the promised one, that was the promised king. And it's also good news because Jesus is the Son of God. And I'm just going to show you a few key points in the Gospels where people get this. They get that Jesus is the Messiah and they get that he's the Son of God. Okay, so first of all, a really important bit of Mark's Gospel is when we get to chapter 8. And Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, is having a conversation with Jesus. And Peter says, Jesus says to Peter, who do people say I am? And he says, some say John the Baptist. Peter says, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say one of the prophets. And Jesus says to Peter, who do you say I am? And Jesus, Peter says, you are the Messiah. Okay, so we've got this little conversation here where Jesus says, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Messiah. And we're going to see, let's not kick it over. We're going to see this is a really important point in Mark's gospel. And it's sort of the hinge or the turning point. So it says, who do you say I am? Jesus says, Peter says, you are the Messiah. And then a bit later on, in chapter 15, which is actually when Jesus dies, so you might want to draw a cross. We have a centurion soldier who watches Jesus die, and he says in verse 39, surely this man was the Son of God. Other key moments when actually God himself is given a voice in Mark's gospel is in Jesus's baptism in verse 11 of the first chapter. I've not given myself much room here. When there's a voice from heaven as Jesus is getting baptized, and the voice from heaven says, you are my son. Okay, so you might want to draw a speech bubble and you are my son. Okay, so this is God speaking from heaven. Another moment happens in chapter 9 when it's another special event, the transfiguration, when Jesus is up the mountain with some of his disciples. And again, we have this voice from heaven that says, this is my son. And he says, whom I love. And then it says, listen to him. So here we got, you are my son with him I am well pleased. Similar thing here, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him. And then there's another moment where Jesus clearly says it himself. And actually I looked at that this week with the women in our church. Actually, no, it's this Tuesday, so I've been preparing it. It's this Tuesday, where that Jesus is on trial. So chapter 14, if you're arty, which I am not, but you can try and draw yourself a cup and some bread, because Jesus has the Last Supper with his disciples. He's got to Jerusalem. I don't know, I'm going to colour it in red, because it's wine. He shares the bread and the wine with his disciples. And then shortly after, he's arrested. Okay, this is my handcuffs. And he then is on trial, and the high priest says to him, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? They don't like using God's name, I think, was why he said Son of the Blessed One. And Jesus says, I am. So he very clearly, we get to this point, and Jesus, he gets asked, are you the Messiah, the Son of God, Son of the Blessed One? And Jesus says, I am. I know you probably can't read that from the back, but you get the idea. Now, that's just some key things about Jesus' identity, but let's just go backwards a little bit. The book of Mark is really split into two halves, and this is the kind of hinge or the turning point. And this first half, so you might want to draw a line down the middle. Okay, this first half, Mark is helping us see who is Jesus. So I'm just going to write this down here. Who is Jesus? So that's chapters 1 to 8. And that happens over a period of about 2.5 years. Okay, so you might want to write 2.5 years. And it mainly happens in Galilee. And today, we're going to spend our time in this half of the gospel. We're going to spend our time in chapter 5 and then in chapter 7. So it's worth us asking, what's Mark trying to show us about who Jesus is? Now, Mark's gospel is fast-paced. It starts really quickly. By the end of chapter 1, we've had a warm-up from John the Baptist. We've had Jesus being baptized. We've had Jesus being tested in the wilderness. Jesus has called some disciples, and he started to teach. So we just get grown-up Jesus in Mark's gospel. And it's got a very eyewitness feel to it. So if you read through it, it's constantly jumping and saying, so then this happens, immediately this happens, and it keeps jumping, and there's lots of action. There's not lots of teaching. There are some bits. There's only 7 parables, so stories that Jesus told in Mark's gospel. And I think two of those seven, only take up 1 verse each. So Mark's pretty punchy in what he's doing here. But he does, in chapter 4, there's, I think, 3 parables. I'm going to write teaching. So there's some parables in chapter 4, and then in chapter 13, there's another block of teaching all about the future. But most of the time, there's not any long sermons, apart from these two. Unlike some of the other Gospels. Right, part 2. So this is part 1, who is Jesus? We've got this really important point when Peter finally, the disciples, and Peter especially, says, you are the Messiah. And from that point on, Jesus is helping his disciples understand what he's come to do and then what it means to follow him. So the second half, we're going to call, what did Jesus come to do? And this was 2.5 years. This is 1 week, pretty much. And this is mainly on the way to Jerusalem and in Jerusalem. And very quickly, after this point, Jesus starts to tell his disciples what lies ahead of him. So in chapter 8, verse 31, he starts to say, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again. And he says it again in chapter 9, verse 31, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again. And he says it again in verse 33 of chapter 10. And each time he gives a bit more information, a bit more detail. And then what's amazing is we then get to keep reading and you see that these things happen within a week, pretty much. And you can watch Jesus get arrested, his trial, his death, and then, thankfully, we know the end of the story, don't we? We should probably draw an empty tomb. Just written empty, because Jesus didn't stay in that tomb. And a really key verse to help us understand what Jesus came to do, which is our question for the second half, is in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. And Jesus says he came to give his life as a ransom for many. And today, our focus is going to be on people who met Jesus. And in Mark's gospel, we meet three kind of groups of people. The first is the disciples. We're quickly introduced to them here in chapter one. And then by chapter three, there's this group of 12. They're Jesus's closest followers, who he is invited to be with him, to learn from him, and then to go out and to teach. They don't always get it right in their response to Jesus, and I think that's really reassuring for us. It adds credibility to the gospel accounts, especially if the main source of Mark's information is Peter. Peter often is not shown in the best light. They are often lacking faith or getting things wrong. There's, just as an example, there's three places in the first half where Jesus is on a boat with his disciples, and in each of those occasions, the disciples don't come out looking great. So if you want to draw a boat, there's in this one... So I'm just going to write disciples to remind you the boat is because it's about the disciples and their kind of lack of faith. This one, I think, is the calming of the storm. And then in chapter 6, we've got another boat journey where Jesus walks on water. And then in chapter 8, there's another just conversation in a boat about the feeding of the 4,000 where the disciples just don't really get it and what it's about. So there's some examples of times when the disciples don't come out looking great. I'm aware it's 11 o'clock, I've just got 5 minutes. The second group is the religious leaders. They are opposed to Jesus and ultimately plot to kill him. And the opposition to Jesus actually starts really early. So in chapter 2, I'm going to write opposition begins. In chapter 2, we see the religious leaders start to ask kind of why questions. Why is he spending time with those sinners? Why is he doing that on the Sabbath? I think is the question. That's verse 7 and verse 16. And then by chapter 3, they're plotting to kill him. So it's really quick that they start to... Sorry, can I come further and further back so you guys can see? And then the last group, and then we're going to finish for our coffee break. The last group is the group we're going to think about today. I've just called them the miscellaneous others. And they're the people we meet as we go through Mark's gospel who often get it right and surprisingly embody faith. Let me tell you about some of them. We've got the leper in chapter 1, the paralyzed man in chapter 2, Levi the tax collector in chapter 2, a man with a withered hand, chapter 3, a man with evil spirits, chapter 5, a woman who's bleeding for 12 years, chapter 5, Jairus and his daughter, a deaf man, a blind man, a widow who's got two coins, a centurion. I'm not going to write all that on there. But if you want to, I don't know what colour to do this in. I think I've got one more colour. You could just draw some stick people. So these are our miscellaneous others. There's one in chapter 1, one in chapter 2, one in chapter 3, three in chapter 5, which is what we're going to look at next session, two in chapter 7, which we're going to look at this afternoon. Some of these I should probably make women, but I've not got time for that. One in chapter 9, one in chapter 10, one in chapter 12, here and here. These are people who we read about who are all outsiders in some sort of way. They all come to Jesus needy, and they know it. And they come to Jesus, and often they display faith, or they end up following him, and or end up following him. We're going to spend some time looking at these ones today. And I simply want to return to the thing we started with. Why do we look at the Gospels? Because they stabilize our faith. They help us know what Jesus is like, which is what we're going to see next session. And they also help us, I think, share Jesus with others. And the main thing I want us to do today is just to watch how Jesus relates to people, in particular these kind of surprising people. And we're going to hopefully, well, I know we are, we're going to discover how Jesus relates to us now. Well done for sticking with me. I feel like I did that quite fast. There won't be so much for you to do in the next two sessions. You can just enjoy listening. But hopefully that's helped you. And you could take that home with you, keep it in Mark's Gospel, and you could then add things to it. If you wanted to read through it, you could add things in. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we have eyewitness accounts. We have biographies of Jesus' life. Thank you that our faith is in a person who really lived in history. Thank you for the confidence that can give us. That our faith isn't just wishful thinking, but it's something we can rely. We can rely on you. And we just pray that as we look at some of these people who Jesus met, we pray that you would, the Lord Jesus would meet us on the pages of Mark's Gospel. Pray that we would learn more about how Jesus relates to us today in our day-to-day lives in 2026. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.